Everybody needs a Bible. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse number 4. As I said, this Sunday we will also have a missions call with Fernie Padilla and Miss Amy on Sunday morning at 11:15. And then next Wednesday we'll be hearing from Mike Jones, Mike Neff. We'll hear from Brother Allen and Miss Julie down at Benchmark. We've got several calls already lined up. And I know Brother Neff and Brother Cross from Missoula also want to get with us on a Wednesday night. So it's great that we can see their face and hear them talk and tell us how things are going. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 4. If you found it, say amen. Amen. Let's read it together, please, as a family. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. We've been in our series called Found Faithful. We've talked about our faithfulness with our treasures and the tithe and offerings. We've talked last Sunday morning about being faithful with our time and how we spend our time and how that everything we have is from God. It's entrusted to us. I love this verse when it says that they were put in trust with the gospel. Everything you have, your health, your time, your talents, your treasure, those things were all entrusted to you for your use for God's glory. God gave them to you. I have actually seen God take them away. He's taken them from me from time to time. He's taken them from others. And so none of us are immune, and God has given them to us, and He wants us to use them for His glory. But one of the things we may not remember or may not always think about is we have been entrusted with the gospel. We have it. We have the truth. And you say, well, that's haughty. No, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We are living in a world of darkness, of blind people blinded to the gospel by Satan himself, and we have the truth. We have what sets them free. What is really the difference between us and somebody who's of the world? Well, they just don't have the gospel. They're not saved. You know, salvation, soul winning, is the greatest form of social reform you can actually do as a human being. Because when you change somebody, when you give them the gospel, when they realize just how holy God is, they realize how sinful they are. And then they realize they need a Savior. And when they trust Christ as their Savior, it changes everything. Now, it doesn't change overnight, but over time, it does change. It does change. Now, it says here that we have been put in trust with the gospel. Now, that word to put in trust means to place one's trust in, to be, you know, I give you something and I'm trusting you because you're reliable, good, and honest and effective. In law or legal terms, a trust is a relationship where property is held by one party for the benefit of a different party. And you and I are to be good stewards of that which God has given us, and the gospel is something God has given us. We are to be good stewards. Now remember, that's the definition of stewardship. The stewardship is managing the resources of someone else for the owner's benefit. So like Ms. Tanya, if I hired you to be my steward, that means you would manage my physical financial affairs for my benefit. You know, trying to turn a profit for me. That's what we do for our companies. When we were, and if you're an entrepreneur, I know Brother Deke is an entrepreneur, you're in it to turn a profit. Well, for the company you work for, you're in it. You know, if Booz Allen stops turning a profit, guess what? They stop paying you. I mean, isn't that right? That's how it is. And the truth is, you're stewards for your company. They have placed resources. They have placed the trust of the customer in your hands for their benefit. So when you think of it, it's not that foreign of an idea to say God has entrusted you with the gospel. He has given it to you to manage, to maintain, to take care of for the benefit of the owner, which is God. Now, our theme verse for this entire series is found in 1 Corinthians 4. If you'll keep your hand there in 1 Thessalonians, look at 1 Corinthians 4, verses 1 and 2. Now, in 1 Corinthians 4, 1, it says, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. Now, you may not think of yourself that way, but you are. One of the incredible things that's happening right now in our church is Sunday morning Sunday school down here in the auditorium, in the main auditorium, they're going through Revelation. You're going to go through some of the mysteries of God. You're going to go through some of the things that it's not that you can't know it. It's just the fact that you haven't actually studied it. You're about to study it, and it's going to become revealed to you, and it's going to become, oh, you are a steward of the truth of God. But it says here in the second verse, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. We are to be faithful stewards of the gospel of Christ. That's what 1 Thessalonians 2:4 says. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, God gave us the gospel. Now, I don't understand why God didn't choose to use angels. Angels can travel at the speed of thought. They don't take a break. They don't take a vacation. They never get sick. They never grow old. They never get tired. They never die. They can speak every language on the planet. I mean, angels are an incredible being, but God did not choose to use them to preach the gospel because they themselves have never been redeemed. They don't know what it's like to be lost and then to be saved by the gospel. You do. The angel, you know how it is. You can't really talk about something you've not experienced. Well, guess what? The angels have never experienced it. The Bible actually says that they look in, like children looking in the window of a candy store. They look in, but it doesn't always make sense. And it really doesn't when we're sinners by choice, not just sinners by nature, but God yet saves us and keeps us. We have been entrusted with the gospel. God has given it to us. Now, first off, being a steward of the gospel, number one, you need to know exactly what the gospel is. Take your Bible, go to the book of Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Matthew, Mark, and then Luke. Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. The word gospel means good news. In Luke chapter 2, verse 10, the angel said unto them, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings. That's news. Good news of great joy, which shall be to all people. Well, what is it? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. That's the good news, that God has sent His Savior for us. Look at Luke chapter 4. Look how Jesus defined it. Luke 4 and verse number 18. He is quoting from the book of Isaiah chapter 61 in Luke 4 verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it again to the ministers and sat down. And all eyes were on him that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. He's saying, I am the Messiah. I have come with good news for you. Now, Paul defined the gospel in Romans chapter 1 in verse 16. He tells us the power of it. Look at it, Romans 1 and verse 16. Romans 1 and verse 16. Look what the Bible says. In Romans 1, 16, the Bible says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. You need to know what it is. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Look at that. For it is, that means the gospel is, the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. Do you realize that if folks from Arabic countries get saved, it's because they believe the gospel? Do you know if folks from Asian countries get saved, it's because they believe the gospel? Do you know folks that live on Polynesian islands, if they get saved, it's because they believe the gospel? There is only one way. There is only one truth. There is only one life, and that's Jesus Christ. It's because they learn the gospel, and they can get saved. Now, Paul further elaborates. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul further elaborates on what the gospel is. Look at 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. There's that word again, the good news, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand. We stand by the gospel. We've received the gospel. He preached it unto us, by which also ye are saved. We are saved by the gospel. If ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. This is an incredible thought. You think the gospel is just a New Testament idea. No, no, ma'am. No, it's not. You know, it's not. God has been prophesying that the one would come, that God would provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering, Genesis 22. And that He would come and He would take our place. He would die for our sins. That's the good news. That God would come to mankind and take away our sins. That's the gospel. The gospel in one sentence is John 3:16. Even all the Awana kids know this one. Say it with me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you want to get good at memorizing Scripture, you ought to go downstairs and help out with Awana. Go down there and be listeners to verses and help them during handbook time. And you could be, it's a great encouragement to hear these little kids. And it's an encouragement to us to know that it's possible to memorize Scripture. If you're in my discipleship one-on-one or in my Sunday school class, we're using these little tear-out cards in the back of our journals called the Daily Meds. It's our daily meditations. And we're memorizing Scripture that way. And that is the gospel in one sentence. So listen, we've been entrusted with the gospel. God gave it to us. We're to manage it. We're to maintain it. We're to take care of it. We're to deliver it for God's benefit, for the return on God's investment. Isn't that interesting? What was that? Miss Mix, what's that stuff called? Amish bread? You get it? Friendship bread. You get it in. Somebody gives you a freezer bag and it's got this gooey stuff in it. And you're supposed to, you know, you ever do that stuff and mess with it? And then you set it on the counter for a while and then you bring it back out and it starts to grow. And then before you bake it, you take a little out, put it in a bag and give it to somebody else. And they get to messing with it and it grows and it just goes on and on and on. And that's kind of how the gospel works. When you know, Paul said sin was leaven, you know, leaven, a little leaven leavened at the whole lump, like a little bit of yeast will leaven a whole loaf. You know, the gospel works that way too. When we who have the gospel, who know what it is, who's had the experience of it changing our life, can spill over into the lives of other people as we start to tell them the gospel. Number one, you've got to know what the gospel is. If you are a steward, by the way, you don't have a choice. If you're saved, say amen. Then you are a steward of the gospel. You don't have a choice. You have been conscripted into God's service. You are God's people. You are God's mouthpiece. You know, if it's going to go somewhere, it's because it used your legs. If it's going to be spoken, it's because it used your mouth. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit doesn't have a body of Himself. He inhabits your body, and He wants to live that life through you and spread the gospel through you. So number one, you've got to know the gospel. And to be a steward of the gospel, you also must believe the gospel. You know, not everybody who says they're a Christian is truly a Christian. I don't mean to be hateful, but I got folks in my family that identify as Christian. But they no more know the God of heaven than the man on the moon. Take your Bible, go to Romans chapter 10 and verse 16. It's because they've been given a perverted gospel. So the gospel was meant to be believed. Look at Romans chapter 10. And verse number 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For as Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? If you've ever shared your faith with somebody, you've probably had the same experience I have, where they just chose not to believe. And you think to yourself, well, I just must have messed it up. No, Jesus, while walking on this earth, not only was the best speaker and the best preacher and the best pastor, He also had the best object lessons by using miracles, and they didn't all believe. So it's not about the results, it's about the doing of it. Look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. It's imperative to be a good steward of the gospel that we not only know what it is, but we believe it. Look at Ephesians 1:13, in whom ye also trusted. You see that? Trusted. After that ye heard the word of truth. Well, what is the word of truth? The gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Do you understand? The gospel is of no effect if it's not believed. Jesus called everyone to believe the gospel. in Mark chapter 1 and verse number 14 and 15. Look what the Bible reads in Mark 1, verse 14 and 15. It says, "Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled, the kingdom is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel.'" Do you realize that you and I are giving out the same gospel Jesus gave? We are telling the same story Jesus was telling, that they were to believe on him that was sent. Do you understand? Folks get saved because they believe the gospel. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 16, the gospel was meant to be believed. Galatians 2 and verse 16, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." A real Christian is one who's repented of their sins, has accepted Christ as their only Savior, and their all-sufficient Savior. Now, some people, like I said, they struggle with the idea of he's the only Savior there is. Some people struggle with that. Our former president believed in a common salvation of everyone. It's not true. Jesus said it was not true. "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Now, the world around us has changed the definition of what is good. Have you noticed that? If you'll take your Bible and go to Isaiah chapter 5, God foresaw this. And through the mouth of the prophet Isaiah, told us that this is how it would be. Look at Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20. I love it when God tells us in advance things. It kind of deepens my faith in the fact that he really does know what he's doing and he's got it under control. Look at Isaiah 5 and verse 20. "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil." There's folks who do that now, who call that which is good evil and evil good, "that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One." The world has somehow shamed us into believing that the truth is hateful and that all definitions of God are equally true. And that's a lie. My boy Sam was over at Nova this week, and there were Islamic evangelists passing out tracts. You thought us Christians were the only ones that are doing that. No, there is a... And we're losing ground, y'all. We need to be the ones we are the steward of the gospel, whether you like it or not. And we're to be... It's not just supposed to be us receiving it and keeping it. It's to be given out. You know, some other people will struggle not only with the fact that Jesus is the only way, but they'll also struggle with the fact and the concept that he is all sufficient, that he's all you need. Look at Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12. Hebrews is in the back of the book. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12. You know, Jesus is all you need. The gospel is what saves. There isn't gospel plus something. Gospel plus church membership. Gospel plus baptism. Gospel plus Lord's Supper. Or gospel plus tongues. Or gospel plus a holy life. That is not what saves. It's just the gospel. Look at Hebrews 9 and verse 12. "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." I found these tracts from the Islamic group pretty funny, ironic. Human rights. If you only read the parts that talk good about it, then you've got it. The concept of God in Islam. Do you realize there's no guarantees in these religions? There's only the guarantee in the gospel. That's the only clear, plain, straight guarantee. You don't pass go. You don't go to, you don't stop. There's nothing going to keep you from heaven if you've trusted Christ as your Savior. It is guaranteed. This is the only way. This is the only one. Some people struggle with that. When evangelist Gypsy Smith got saved, an elderly gentleman explained it to him and explained to him the importance of trusting Christ alone. And Gypsy Smith said, "I cannot trust myself, for I am nothing. I cannot trust in what I have, for I have nothing. I cannot trust in what I know, for I know nothing. The only thing left for him to trust is in Jesus Christ." You know, this Savior, this all-sufficient, only Savior, is the one that delivers us from the guilt and penalty of our sin. In Hebrews 9 and verse 14, listen to what the Bible says. "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" You know, one day this same Savior will deliver us from the presence of sin. I can't imagine what that'll be like, to be in a place where there is no sin, not in me, not around me, not going on in the same area as me. I just can't imagine. Now, Paul gives us a definition and uses himself as a definition of what a real Christian who's believed the gospel is. Take your Bible, go to 2 Timothy. It's just a few pages toward the front from Hebrews. Look at 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12. There's some very interesting words in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12 that I want you to see. Look at 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12. It says, "For the which cause I also suffer these things." What? The gospel. He suffers these things for the gospel. "Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed." I don't think I got a raw deal. I don't think somebody's violated the warranty here. "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Now that word "believed" means he believed on Christ. John 3:36. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." You know, that word is talking about we're taking God at his word. When you believe the gospel, you are saying God said it and that settled it. That's it. There's no deviation. God said it. I believe the gospel. Why? Because God said it. That's what Hebrews 11:6 says. "For without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." But do you see that word there where it says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, "persuaded"? That is a heart condition, a heart change, to know beyond a shadow of a doubt. 1 John 5:13, John wrote to his friends and said, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have everlasting life." It's a persuasion of your heart. I know, even if I don't always feel like it, I know I am saved. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt. And then it says, "and I have committed." Do you see that there in verse 12? "I have committed unto him." He'll be able to keep that which I've committed unto him. That means I have placed my trust in God's ability to trust someone with something, to place further hope and present dependence upon Christ alone. My God is able. I am persuaded that he is able not only to come to do what he said he was going to do, but to follow through and keep it. Keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. See, the gospel was, we've been put in trust with it. So you need to know what it is. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It's the fulfillment of God's plan and purpose for the ages. Number two, it needs to be believed. You know, a lot of people have a struggle with that concept. But you know, I believed in a physician when I put my case into the physician's hand and I trusted him to cure me. I believed in a lawyer when I left my case in his hands and trusted him to plead for me. I believe in a banker when I put my money in his hands and allow him to keep it on my behalf. I believe in my Savior when I take him to be my Savior, when I put my helpless case into his hands and trust him to do what I cannot do for myself, and that is to save me from my sins. People say, I don't know how to do that. Well, you do it when you go to see a doctor. You do it when you go see a lawyer. You do it when you go see the banker. It's not that hard. God said it. Okay. And maybe that's the problem. When I put my helpless case, because I'm truly helpless to save myself, so I put it in his hands. Not only are we the steward of the gospel, but God has entrusted us to live the gospel. Take your Bible, go to Matthew 7 and verse 21. We're not only to know what it is, we're to believe it, but we're also to live it. Look at Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. I had to act on it. I had to believe. James 1, 22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. I'm not talking about works salvation. I'm talking about the fact that it's one thing to know what it is, but to believe and to live it now. I'm still depending upon Jesus Christ. It wasn't just a one-time crisis experience. I get up every day and it's my faith and trust hasn't changed. It's still in Jesus. It is God's will that we bear fruit, though. In John 15, the Gospel of John, chapter 15, and verse 1 and 2. Listen to what the Bible reads in John 15, verse 1 and 2. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. That means he trims it back, that it might bring forth more fruit. Look at verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Look at verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Look at verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask ask of the Father in my name. Let's stop right there. God obviously wants me to go back over that. Look at that. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, that's tying Christ's stamp of approval to it, he may give it you. Are you asking God for things? What are you asking for? Is there someone in your life that needs to believe the gospel? You know, when you ask God to help them believe the gospel, you're asking God for something he already wants and is already wanting to see happen. It's like you're partnering with God. It's not you by yourself. You are partnering with God. You're not doing this alone. We're the steward of the gospel, so God has entrusted us not just to live it, but to love the gospel. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8, listen to what the Bible reads. Whom having not seen, ye loved, speaking of Jesus, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. How long has it been since you relived your salvation experience by retelling it to someone else? See, every time you tell somebody your story, you're reliving your story. Man, doesn't it just fill you with joy to tell people, this is what happened to me. This is how I got saved. Why love the gospel? Because he first loved us, 1 John 4:19. And how do we show Jesus that we love him? Well, we keep his commandments, John 14:15. John 14:23 says, if a man love me, he'll keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. John 15:10, it says, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And Jesus told us to tell others. That's what he said in Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. See, we're the stewards of the gospel. The story of the good news was entrusted to you and I. And it wasn't for our safekeeping like we would lose it. It was to be managed so that it would grow and go to others that we would run into and come in contact with. We have been entrusted with it. We've been entrusted, like the steward who was given talents. And God said, use your abilities for my benefit. We are to be faithful stewards. God has entrusted it so that we can give it to other people. In Psalm 107 and verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Who else is going to say it if we don't? If not you, then who? I don't work where you do. I don't live where you do. I probably don't even grocery shop where you do. If not you, then who? Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Of all the things you and I amass here on earth, the only thing that goes to heaven with us is who we become as a Christian, and number two, the souls we win. That's what will go to heaven with us. In James chapter 5 and verse 20, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. It's crazy. There's a lot of times when I'm dealing with very unreasonable people who are blinded to the gospel, who scream that I'm intolerant but behave intolerantly, and scream hate but act hatefully. And you know, of course, in our flesh, we're like, oh, one day I'm going to be standing off to the side and you're going to be front and center. And you'll say Jesus is Lord. But really, is that really how we want to live? Is that really how we want to act? No, aren't you glad somebody else thought of us and went, I don't want you to have to be front and center while I'm off to the side watching you be judged. The truth is, one day they'll be ready to hear it. Hopefully they'll still be alive when that day comes. I've had friends who died before they hit bottom. But you know, God has a way of allowing things to come into our life that makes us ready to receive the gospel. I'm fortunate the Lord allows me to do funerals for people. And I get a chance to give the gospel of Christ to roomfuls of people who otherwise would not answer their door. These new Ring doorbells are funny. I actually knocked on a door and I watched the person sitting at the dining table pick up the Ring, look at me, and set it back down again. Didn't even say a word. You know what I'm saying? But you let mama die. And they'll line the pews as I tell them about the truth of Jesus Christ and the promise of everlasting life. And you think to yourself, that's horrible, that's terrible. No. What's terrible is if they go to hell and never heard. The story of the Ethiopian eunuch is very poignant to me. Because wouldn't we all love to have been there at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came down? And cloven tongues of fire rested upon the apostles. And as they spoke, everyone in the crowd heard the gospel in their own native language. It was a true miracle. It wasn't gibberish. It was a miracle. Thousands were saved. 3,000 saved that first day. Many thousands, multitudes and multitudes were saved and added to the church at Jerusalem and in the subsequent chapters. But when we get to Acts chapter 9, the Ethiopian eunuch had been in town the whole time and never heard the gospel. Bought him a copy of the, had commissioned himself a copy of the book of Isaiah. Because remember, back then you had to pay somebody to copy you one by hand. He sat in that town during one of the greatest events in all of Christianity and never heard the gospel. How can you be that close and not? Well, just as easy as the person sitting in the cube next to you each day while you have your devotions can sit there watching you but not hear. Daniel 12:3, and they that shall be wise, or shall that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. You know, a lot of times when we share our faith on the job, of course, you've got to do it right. You don't want to be taking time away from your work. And you want to, you know, when it's your time and you can take a break and they have a question, you'll find Christians that are working where you work. And sometimes having two of you or three of you praying for people that you work with, that goes so far when you know you're not alone. You know, giving the gospel out gets our eyes off our problems. It really does. I know when we're looking at our problems look so big and they look so nasty and hairy, we lose sight of the fact that the world around us is dying and going to hell. Giving out the gospel provides a common objective that binds all of us together as a church. It's hard to fight and fuss when we're all trying to accomplish the same goal of getting the gospel. Giving the gospel provides a way for men, women, boys, and girls to give their energy, prayer, money, and lives for a common purpose. Giving the gospel provides an objective for young people to surrender their lives to God. Giving the gospel provides a way for those who've never heard the gospel to hear it and believe. But you and I are the ones who have it. We've been entrusted with it, not for its safekeeping, but for its free delivery and return. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. We're stewards. That's what we are. We're to be found faithful. Our God and Heavenly Father, countless people have crossed our paths today. Some, we probably didn't even notice. But Father, we ask, in the coming days and weeks, Father, help us to have the courage to share our faith, to invite people to church. Father, I know on Saturday when we come together to go out canvassing, Father, we'll have an opportunity to bring the gospel to doorsteps around our area. But Father, let us not forget that those around us need us to be striving for their soul. You've given us the gospel. Our desire is to be trustworthy and good stewards. Speak through the week. Speak to us moment by moment, and we'll obey you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May I look this way. If you've not ever picked up tracts, there are some.